Okay, you can hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great.
I can hear you calling me gay very well, very loudly.
Yeah. Yep, that's me. Hang on. And not over yet. About to record for an hour.
About to have sex on camera. about to J-O on cam for my subscribers.
Yeah, pulling an autofocus. You've heard that term, right?
No.
Oh, Paul Schrader's movie Autofocus, where there's a scene where Willem Dafoe and who's playing the other guy? Greg Kinnear. They just like are watching porn together and they're jacking off. It's about Greg Kinnear playing somebody in Hogan's Heroes who like developed a sex addiction after he became famous.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we don't have to talk. I mean, the best Schrader movie, I think, is Mishima.
Mishima is so funny. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast, I think. But
I think so.
But
We've definitely talked about it with each other. I don't know.
We've definitely talked about it in person. When I found out about Mishima like a decade ago or more, I was like, this is the funniest guy I've ever heard of.
It's so funny. It's just like the idea of making a grand gesture, trying to over it would be like if could you imagine January 6th, like Trump went with everyone and no one could hear him, so he like killed himself.
Yeah, so he killed himself. I mean, I found out about Mishima because by the way, like pertinent to our conversation last week about my taste in music, because the music was written by Philip Glass for that movie Mishima, A Life in Four Chapters,
yeah,
which is a great film. It's a great, interesting kind of art house, biography of the guy. But the ending is just pure comedy. It's so fucking funny, man.
And I don't even think it's played as a comedy. I just think of a kind where we're like,
nobody even knows what he's talking about. And they're like, wait, are you that fucking writer? You're that guy from TV?
What are you saying? What? He's like, Japan has been taken over
by
Disney.
We must return to the empire. And there's like, I can't hear him. What did he say?
They can't hear him, and then they start booing him. They're like, shut up, get out of here.
Boo, get the fucking, you made us muster for this? What the fuck?
It's so funny. I'm sorry, but the act of seppuku is so funny. Of just like, I'll show you when I kill myself.
He had his boy chop his head off in that like poor guy's office that they barricaded themselves in.
So silly.
they just had to hang out while he chopped his fucking buddy to second him to chop his head off.
I think hear me out, Japan. Get rid of the ancient art of seppuku and try embracing biting your knees in the shower while listening to Linkin Park. It's kind of the same thing.
Crawling in my skin. These words I wear, not here.
I can't believe she didn't go to the dance with me. I can't believe our country's taken over by sissies.
By liberals. Emperor, I love you.
Oh, man. That's fun.
Kono gawe mo. Katsu de ko daichi e.
Did you look that up?
No. This is nonsense words.
Oh my
God. It kind of sounds like Japanese.
Great. Now we gotta cut it.
No, leave it in.
All right, whatever. Let the record show, Connor doesn't say that
Connor,
stuff.
Connor thinks that's bad.
Yeah. I was laughing because I thought it was accurate Japanese.
Yes. It was literally a transliteration of the let me type this into a ChatGPT real quick. Just a little comedy, folks, while the kind of world burns around us.
Yeah.
While we kind of talk to ourselves and figure out if Trump can deport American citizens to a prison like prison holes in El Salvador that are country might be paying for, but we don't even know.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of time before America is like, hey, since, you know, you can't send U.S. citizens to prisons in foreign land. It's just a matter of time before it's like, hey, we bought up some land in El Salvador, similar to Guantanamo Bay, if you ask me, because that's in Cuba, yet it's on U.S. owned land. So Trump and President Poo Smelly, as I call him, are
got him, dude. Yeah. Fucking destroyed.
Yeah. Tomorrow I end up in one of those super prisons. But yeah,
probably not. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I don't, I'm not going to go so far to say like, they're only getting the bad people, because as we can see with Kilmer Garcia, like innocent people are getting thrown in there too. It's a real shame. It's more than a shame. It's absolutely fucked up and depraved. And the pictures coming out of it are reminds me of something I learned about in history class, but I can't.
Yeah, a little bit. I can't. Exactly. Yeah. I can't quite remember what, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clips of like that fucking freak Gutfeld just being like, what's the big deal anyway? Like,
oh my God.
I'm fine with getting these guys the fuck out of here.
These are the same people, mind you, that under the Biden administration were like, they're going to gulag us for speaking out against COVID.
Yeah, these are the crackpot motherfuckers that were like, you know, Obama's coming for your kids, right? They're coming to your door to take all the, you know, not gay gun owners to, you know, Montana to shoot them or something, or like FEMA camps. Like, I mean, if not literally like the FEMA camps conspiracy, then something that's literally adjacent to it, and it's happening now. And they're like, oh yeah, good. It's not me, right? It's the people I don't like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. Prison planet, baby. Paul Joseph Watson, where are you, dude? We're finally there.
We're getting close to it.
A prison of our own making. We did this.
It's totally fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's, you know, but let's not focus on that, because there's so much going on today.
There is so
just
much.
Just today.
We even had some stuff come up today that we're not anticipating talking about, but we are going to. But first things first, Alec, I saw 4 movies this weekend.
Holy shit, that's way too many movies, Connor.
Well, I don't have a child, so
I don't have a job. No, Connor actually works full time.
Yeah. I just had, you know, I went to go see another Angel Studios movie, King of Kings, on Friday. And then I saw on Saturday, I did a triple feature. I saw the Alex Garland's Warfare, which is I enjoyed, and we will be having a guest return to talk about it once Alex sees it. If you're listening, guess what, I'm very excited to come on and talk to you about it. He and I have been DMing each other on Twitter about it, and he keeps saying like, wait, I gotta hold all this, I can't go off on a rant yet, I'm waiting for the podcast.
Okay.
He's getting riled up and I'm excited.
He's saving it up to bust on the pod.
Yeah. And then I saw Steven Soderbergh's new movie Black Bag, the husband and wife spy romp. So fun.
That's about buying purses direct from China, right?
We're getting to that in the second half of the episode. And then the last movie I saw was The Amateur with Rami Malek, a remake of the 1981 movie The Amateur, which is based on a Robert Littell novel. It sucked. Wasn't very good.
So Rami's finally being candid about his acting ability, I guess, huh? <Ba-dum-psh>. Got him, dude. Fuck Rami Malek up. Fuck him up. Mr. Robot. Fuck you.
But I do want to touch on Angel Studios' King of Kings. It is a movie that they distributed. They did not produce it. Seems to be what they are, you know, what their bread and butter is, as we've discussed before. But when I was there, and for those who don't know, The King of Kings is based on a Charles Dickens story that is about the life of Jesus Christ, or as I like to call him, Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, a lot of angry emails on that one, huh?
Yeah. Oh, well. The movie is very poorly animated. I will say objectively, it is a bad film. It's very boring. The pacing of it, like, it, as soon as the story is about Jesus, like, start to get going and Caiaphas comes out and he's just like, oh, I fucking hate this Jesus guy.
I can't stand this guy.
As soon as like they get any kind of traction going with the Jesus story, that cuts back to the framing of Charles Dickens telling the story to his son. So you're just like, and I know why they did it, because there's no real narrative. It's just like a series of vignettes. So whatever. Just a bad film all around. I was really bored. And the end credits, as we've talked before, at the end of Angel Studios content, there's always that QR code of like, pay it forward. And it, they usually have somebody that's a cast member of the film just talking about why you should scan this QR code and buy a ticket for someone so that the evil Hollywood sickos don't completely distort your children's view of the world. Well, in this case, I expected Oscar Isaac or Kenneth Branagh or one of the other A-list celebrities that was a voice actor in this movie to give this pitch. No, no, mon frere. Au contraire, mon frere. Alec, can you guess who gave the sales pitch this time around?
Greg Gutfeld. Am I wrong? No.
That would have been awesome.
Close?
Would have been great if Greg Gutfeld.
What's the deal? Yeah, just still ranting about deporting immigrants.
Telling a terrible joke and then staring at all of the cast and crew members waiting for a laugh.
Look, man, I don't know if you have family members that like Gutfeld, but holy shit. I've heard multiple times like, we're going to go see him at the fucking Golden Nugget. He's great. We love it. It's just like, oh, I can't, man. No,
remember there was that time that I said, I'm going to write a research paper on like how satirical news stories are treating Kamala Harris. And I was looking at Gutfeld at the right wing. And it was so awful, I abandoned the research project. Yeah. So I was like, I can't.
It's unwatchable.
I could not do that to myself. But hey, I mean, if Nick Mullen, now that the Adam Friedland show is over, if Nick Mullen goes back to going on to Gutfeld, I guess I'm watching Gutfeld.
Red Eye, yeah. Hit it up, dude.
Yeah.
So who was at the end of this movie pitching it?
Bunch of kids.
Children. Yeah. The producer's kids or whatever.
Yeah. And
please watch the movie.
Basically, it's like, normally you can't take your phone out in a movie, but now you can.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
And me and my buddy went together and we saw, we heard, first off, the theater was packed. And
really? Oh, yeah. I was going to ask who was in there.
It was packed. It was all families because it's a kids movie. It was a lot of like youth groups. So the youth pastors took all the kids out. And then some parents as well. And my friend was kind of nervous. He just kept asking me questions about what the experience is like. I'm like, dude, just come with me to the opening night.
So you guys look like two platonic Christian friends going to see this children's Christian film. That's awesome. I love it.
Oh yeah. We were surrounded by children and some parents. So I don't know what they thought, but, there were just so many parents. But when the kids were saying, pull out your phone and scan this QR code, we did hear multiple children go, mom, pull it out, scan the QR code, which made me laugh because I think we overheard one parent, a dad say, I'll do it in the car.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for this crap.
He was instructed by the television, father.
Yeah. But I will say that something that was really interesting, keep in mind, I'm watching a movie about the life and times of Jesus, and the trailers for this movie, there were two trailers for projects coming up about the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus.
How many Jesus stories do we need? Jesus.
And you know, I don't know. It could be,
literally.
It could be one of those things where it entered into the zeitgeist at the same time. So I remember Hulu and Netflix both put out a Fyre Festival documentary at one point in time. There were two movies about invisible monsters where you had to cover your eyes. One was called Blackbird. I can't remember what the other one's called. But this happens sometimes in Hollywood where an idea is known in the industry and a rival studio is rushing to compete with you on this exact same premise.
Okay.
Is that happening? Maybe. But we could also try to trace back, did something happen in the past 5 years that maybe got people thinking this country has lost its way and we need a Jesus movie?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the cultural bandwidth of the greatest story ever told, right, is really lasting and like, the bastion of evangelicalism that is the United States. It's just like whenever you see these like the bad Jesus movies, you go like, well, I mean, you've got the Passion of the Christ. You have, you know, the most interesting one, probably The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're like a Christian, you know, moviegoer or media consumer, at this point you have The Chosen, which is basically the quality of like a mid-tier HBO show.
Yeah.
So like, what are you going to the theaters to watch another Jesus story for? They're all in there, right? There's six seasons of that shit.
I mean, The Chosen, that was one of the trailers. They're finally at the Last Supper season. They have two more seasons left. We're in the Last Supper season. The next season will be the crucifixion of Jesus, and the final season will be the resurrection of Jesus.
What do you think they're cooking up for the Last Supper, Connor? I wonder.
I don't know, but I guarantee you they're splitting the check. I didn't get that many loaves.
That's a joke about mine. Jews. Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't have any wine. I didn't have any wine, and I will not be paying for this wine.
I only had half a glass.
Yeah. And Jesus keep saying like, no, that's my blood. Drink of it. Like, no. I didn't order it. I'm not paying for it.
Oh, so it's free.
the other movie that was getting released, and I'm actually excited for this one. It's called Light of the World, and it's a 2D animated movie. And Alec, I sent you some of the stuff.
What?
It is.
They don't make it anymore.
You need to read your fucking Twitter DMs that I send you, man. I send you good stuff. But okay. Light of the World, Jesus movie. It's a non-Angel Studios, but I love 2D animation. I'm going to go see it. And I don't know if we said this last week, but I'll definitely say it now. Amr, if you're listening, The Message is still the best religious movie I've ever seen. Second place is Last Temptation of Jesus Christ.
Informative and entertaining.
Which one?
The Message.
Yeah. So after watching all these Christian movies, I think I am going to rewatch The Message soon because I bought it on 4K UHD and it looks great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Sick. So by the way, in kind of that vein, so a thing happened today, which is we're not going to remember in a week, but it prompted my favorite. I mean, it's in like my top three favorite kinds of like posting like storms. Which is Katy Perry went to space or whatever, right? She signed up for the stupid Blue Origin. They like launch you into orbit they launch you like just past the like 100-kilometer mark where it becomes space technically. And then you kind of fall down. So you float for a little bit. It's like the vomit comet, except you go higher. And this prompts, of course, all this news, my favorite kind of post, which is flat earthers either saying that the video is fake or that the video proves that the earth is flat. So I will be spending at least an hour after we finish recording reading posts about how the earth is flat because fuck it. I love flat earthers.
That's awesome.
I love their shit. I love them arguing amongst each other or like rubes just like walking into those text threads and being like, this is nonsense. It's just like, don't do that, man. Don't do that. There's no point in engaging with this shit. Just behold it, right?
I love the idea of a flat earther thinking people who believe in the hollow earth theory are absolute morons.
There might be some of that. I mean, the crossover is pretty intense.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you but never they, know where those conversations are going to go.
But they all agree that mole people are running everything.
Mole people. I mean, just talking about,
we don't have to repeat their exact words.
There's a lot of theories about which kind of people are running the world, but they seem to generally coalesce to one idea pretty frequently.
Yeah. Take a lucky guess, listeners.
And then, by the way, today in totally unrelated news, so 4chan was hacked and is currently down. So I of course, it's still on my browser. I tried to load it up and it does not work. You get timed out every single time. So they got hacked and apparently all their mods got doxxed, including like their email addresses and possibly their IP addresses. And lots of information came out about 4chan, including the nugget that people have been sharing around, obviously unrelated to our flat earth discussion, that Poll, the famous Nazi board, the politically incorrect board, which I promise you has been for over a decade, mostly literal Nazi posts. This is kind of where like Q comes from as well. And basically a bunch of school shooters posted their manifesto here. It's radicalized lots of people to the far right and to white nationalist leanings. Can you guess what country most of the posts on Poll come from by a wide margin? What IP range?
Well, I know the answer, but For the sake of your little bit here, I will say New Zealand.
It's a small country in the Middle East. It's actually kind of shaped like New Zealand, I guess. It's Israel. They apparently
somebody did the math
and they average 23 posts per person in poll in the lifetime of the site. And if you compare the United States and Israel's population, they post 80 times more than Americans do.
Good
so,
word.
You know, there's some speculation. Oh, by the way, some of the mods had .gov email addresses linked apparently to their mod accounts. And between that and the Israel thing, everybody's like, well, I mean, so it's just clear that 4chan is, you know, an intelligence op to radicalize, you know, the youth into doing right-wing radical shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary, but, you know, the good news is, I guess, that who knows if 4chan's ever coming back. So what you have to look forward to is everybody's, you know, social media feeds getting a lot more normal. Because I'm sure a lot of those users are going to be looking for a new place to post. So,
oh, I'm sure they'll end up on X, the Everything app.
Yeah.
Well, although I saw OpenAI or Sam Altman's trying to start a social networking platform. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's just literally only AI bots talking to each other.
Just burning fucking fuel just so they can have fake conversations.
So Alec, I gotta ask you, I know you were a big 4chan head back in the day.
Yeah.
I was not. I was a something awful goon. Mm-hmm. Proud to say it. Rest in peace, Lotax. Rest in power, Lotax. Sorry you blew your brains out.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, sorry your life went to shambles.
Dumbass. He really did not need to kill himself. It was not that bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry you became a victim of your own actions and the consequences of them.
Real hoisted by my own petard energy coming from that guy. But
justice for Lotax. I'll never forget.
Investigate Lotax's suicide.
I bet it was U-Bowl. Remember when he had a boxing fight with the director?
Yeah.
The funny thing about it was U-Bowl.
Beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah, and Lotex started running around like a cartoon in a boxing ring, and U-Bowl just like decks him.
Yeah, he's beefy as fuck. He beat the shit out of him.
Is that Lotex had gall to get on online and be like, what I think is fucked up is that U-Bowl was a trained boxer and got a private trainer for this match that I thought was just going to be for fun. It's like, dude.
I wasn't even taking this seriously.
Like, do you remember what you said about U-Bowl that made him want to box you?
The worst director of all time. He should kill himself. Like, the entire country of Germany should be ashamed.
U-Bowl, who's also known for wanting to box his critics, but that did inspire me. I did tweet at Mahmoud Ahmadinejad that I was like, hey, let's box. Let's handle this shit. Back when he was in charge of Iran, or president of Iran, I was like, Mahmoud, you, me, in the ring, five rounds.
Let's go. Let's go. I could take him.
But he's anyway,
like 30 years older than you.
Yeah. But anyway, I did want to ask you, as a 4chan, what do you call? I know goons are something awful. What are the
We literally can't say the word on the podcast, Connor.
All right. Well, how do you feel?
As an old friend, how do I feel? Friend. I don't give a fuck. Burn it all down. I left that place because I was sick of being... sick of seeing the incredibly racist posts, and I couldn't be ironically racist anymore. And I found Twitter and a different life. Right. And so like most people, I kind of grew out of it. And, I think I stopped by like a couple times in the past decade, and I'm like, oh, it still sucks here. Yeah. It definitely sucks.
Yeah.
It's only getting worse, right? Like the post quality only like degrades over time as it becomes more and more and more just the same shit reposted forever.
Yeah.
But some of the boards were fun. I mean, in my youth. But fuck it, man. Well, burn it down. I'm done with it. Love lost here.
I also am glad you're no longer ironically racist. Rewind to you singing Linkin Park in Japanese at the beginning of the
episode. Yeah, no longer. Well, not that kind, at least.
Yeah, you dropped the ironic part of it.
I'm just racist. I don't give a fuck. I mean, there's nothing. It's not right. Like the point of 4chan is that it's ephemeral. All the posts disappear, which ironically, right, there's been archives for literally like, you know, over a decade now. So like that wasn't even true. So like, who gives a fuck? It was a thing. It was bad pretty much the entire time, and now it's gone. And you can be, trust me, all the racists are either going to just be on Twitter with the rest of them now, or they're going to be racistly posting in their fucking Discord chats with the FBI listening in and then doing nothing. So the world keeps spinning, right? Nothing yeah. changes.
Do you think there's, like, within the FBI offices, interoffice romances start out with being like, wait, you're this shit poster? I'm your handler.
I've always thought your posts were kind of hot. I love it when you posted that Luigi pregnant fucking JPEG, like, 10 times a day to ruin threads.
I've been trying to low-key influence you to shoot up a Walmart for months.
yeah. I also hate the Jannies.
The Jannies? What's that?
It's a pet term for the janitors, who are the lower tier moderation staff, the like unpaid guys that like delete your really bad posts and your like off topic shit post threads, or when the Nazi politics board wants to come into the one for cartoons and post crypto Nazi shit or just straight up political threads, right? Those threads get deleted because that's not for that board, and then people bitch about the janitors, right?
Okay, well, hey, there's some anthropological knowledge for those of you who don't know anything about 4chan.
Extremely normal shit. Extremely normal stuff that's in my brain forever. They do it for free, folks. They really do. Yeah. Janitor's in here doing it for free. The Arthur guy. I don't know if he's actually the janitor in the Arthur animated television show or if he's like a gardener or something, but they always post the image of like that cartoon aardvark, and then it'll say Jannies.
Mm.
They do it for free.
Well, Alec, I'm sorry, but I do have to take a second here to mention our sponsor for today's episode. We have a sponsor. Today's episode of Propaganda is brought to you by Ninjam Pepakoa, which is a herbal formula. It's an herbal dietary supplement with honey and loquat, which was something that when I worked at a voiceover studio, this was the thing that helped people get through the day if their voices were terrible. We could get a few hours out of a voice actor really, really easily with this. And for the first time in my life, I'm experiencing allergies, which is terrible. And I almost couldn't record today. Then I ordered some of this stuff, which is produced and manufactured in Hong Kong and Beijing, I believe, according to the label that I read off the box. But yeah, thanks to Chinese manufacturing, we were able to get this episode up and running. So
this shit is real, like Chinese traditional medicine. It looks like a black goo in a little bottle. And then it says Ninjam Pepakoa. Like, it's crazy when they don't really translate. They just like phoneticize into an English name. Yeah. So, I mean, it does say herbal dietary supplement with honey and loquat, but the top line is just Ninjam Pepakoa. That doesn't mean anything in English.
I'll tell you one thing that it means. It works.
It works.
Yeah.
Look, by the way, we're not being paid. This is just a shout out because Connor loves Chinese medicine and he's doing it.
It's a shout out because it really did help me get ready for the episode today. I have been feeling like shit, but it's also a clever little segue.
Oh, right.
into one of the things we wanted to talk about, which was,
I'm good at podcasting.
We're following up on some of the stuff we talked about last week about Chinese manufacturing.
There we go.
And the way that people are talking about it. Because last week we did touch on the tariffs, and I don't know if y'all have been paying attention, but Xi Jinping is standing strong in the trade war, and Trump keeps giving a bunch of concessions, but is acting as if he's winning the game of 5D chess.
Yeah, I mean, they impose retaliatory tariffs to some insane number, right? The numbers really don't matter. Once they're past 50%, I mean, just all bets are off. Yeah. And then Trump was like, they better come to the table and talk to me. And apparently it has been fucking radio silence as far as we know.
Yeah.
So
he said, I want Xi to call him. Xi didn't call him. He said, I'm ready to make a deal. China didn't do anything. And then Trump finally rolled back the tariffs on smartphones and electronics.
Yeah, well, because people somebody did the math and said that, you know, iPhones are going to cost $30,000 if you were to make them here, which
cost $30,000.
But you'd have to, you wouldn't be able to build them for at least 6, 7, 10 years, right? So like, yeah. Don't worry about it. That's not the problem. The price is not going to be the issue, right?
Yeah, it's the availability.
I mean, I know for supply. A fact they're going to definitely cost at least 125% more, right? Because that's what the tariff rate was,
right?
So,
but not no more.
That freaks some people out. Not no more.
Yeah.
But apparently that's not enough to bring the Chinese to the table. They're going to let us stew for a little bit because it seems like Trump's approval ratings are tanking, and they're just going to let him sit on this one, which. Hey man, do nothing, win, right? Like that's the meme. That's
yeah.
The joke.
It's been pretty fun to see. Well, I shouldn't say fun because I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately, but it sucks. Things are still going up in price. But yeah, it's pretty fun to watch Trump.
Inflation is not under control.
Inflation is not under control, but it is fun to watch that Trump is losing this tariff war and then acting like it was, you know, the plan the whole time. Everything's going great. Don't you worry.
It is. It's smooth sailing over here. Thumbs up.
She's going to call me. He's going to call me any day now. Just you wait.
Hi. I mean, the money I would pay to see him just like talking to his aides and basically having that conversation like any day he's going to call. This can't keep going on. But we should. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I think a big reason why China doesn't need to worry is that while the United States wants to decouple from China, the rest of the world does not. not everyone's on board with completely shifting to buying American. And, you know, I don't want to get the cart before the horse here or put the cart before the horse here. But we do have some stuff we want to say about how things are actually made in America or how things are actually made in Europe. So Alec, you tell me, can I go off or do you have something you want to
say? No. Go ahead.
Okay. So whenever you buy an object, actually, let me start with a little story I have of a friend of mine. A friend of mine is in a band and that band happened to get an endorsement deal from a clothing company named Chubby's. And Chubby's whole thing is that they are made in America. Made in America. And when the band got this deal, I was really excited for them because it was like a big deal. They were getting some more coverage. This band is now moderately successful. And he is such a good friend of mine that, of course, my natural instinct was, I'm going to troll my friend. I'm just going to like look into this company, see if I can find any dirt and just like troll them a little bit. Right. And what I found was that Chubby's, while they do say made in America, that's not true. All of their parts are made in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, and they're shipped over to America where they are then assembled. Mm-hmm. So all the parts are made in foreign countries, but they are assembled in America. And that's why Chubby's gets to say made in America.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the only company that does this. There are lots of companies that also say made in Europe or made in America, and that's not the case. All these parts are made in China. So,
well, they're made in different places, right? Like everything is unless you are like a unless you're like a bespoke carpenter, right? And you're buying like wood from down in the lumber yard, right? And then making furniture out of it. Well, not even in that case, because then you're buying fucking varnish or whatever for this shit. And that might come from a fucking foreign country. Nothing is made any particular place, right?
Right.
It's all global. That's the gift of globalism, I guess, right?
Yep. You find a place that is cheapest to get things. I mean, we could bring this back to something really close to home, which is timber. All right.
Oh,
America does not have enough land to grow timber that is ideal for building houses. We get all that from Canada. And yeah. And so putting all these tariffs on Canada, that shoots up housing construction costs, something that happened in 20. Oh man, what was that first administration where this thing happened?
I can't remember.
I just remember it was an orange man who was in charge. Yeah, when you put tariffs on other countries, obviously you've heard this before if you listen to this episode or not. I was thinking today, if you listen to this episode, you're a dumbass who doesn't read the news. So you probably get the news from us.
Well, we're just hanging out.
We're just hanging out. We're just shooting the shit. But yeah, a lot of timber, a lot of housing materials, construction materials come from Canada. So if you put these, you know, Trump just thinks like, oh, we'll just get everything and America, we don't have enough timber.
Good luck, dude.
We just
good
don't.
Luck.
We just don't.
Hey, look, I've worked in a lot of lumber mills down here in the South, and if you want pine, right, we have some of it. It's not enough for all of America. It's to be honest, it's barely enough for like this region, right? Yeah. It gets shipped all over, right? It'll end up in your Lowe's, and that you know, that bundle might be from fucking Louisiana, right? It very well could not be, depending on where you are. That shit's big and heavy, and it costs a lot of money to ship. So, you know,
dude, tell me about it. Look, all right. So my karate lessons have shot up 300% because I keep chopping through the wood blocks, and you know, tariffs are cracking down on the wood blocks.
They keep having to glue them back together, and you're just getting stronger and stronger.
And I'm trying, but Sensei Curtis is on my ass about making sure that I pay for all these things. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Like, if you want to play with these nunchaku, like Dayton over there, you better get it together and pay off this tuition.
Just hitting himself in the balls with like nunchucks over and over again.
So anyway, we'll post the audio to this at some point, or we'll post the link in the show notes. But there's a really good TikTok about if you want to import from China, make sure you visit the right places. So cami tops are from Guangzhou, hair dryers crystals are from Donghai, ambulances are from, I don't know how to pronounce that, so I'm not gonna try. But
skip,
we will
skip.
Yeah,
skip.
I got the first three all right.
Hey,
but yeah, this video is just kind of giving you an idea of like, hey, there are lots of different provinces in China that specialize in certain things that you not just want, but you need.
If you want to import from China, make sure you visit the right places. Cami tops, Guangzhou, hair dryer, Cixi, crystal, Donghai, ambulance, Suizhou, functional sugar, Yucheng, home textile, Nantong, hyaluronic acid, Jinan, eco-friendly paper cups, Dongguan.
So it's just foolish to try and decouple.
This has been, speaking about like styles of posting, I mean, this has been like unabashedly like a really fun couple days because like all of these kind of, I guess, Chinese factories and or wholesalers are pitching, I guess, Americans. Right, to like directly import. I mean, I don't know how that wouldn't be affected by the tariff, but they're certainly making it known that like, hey, do you see this household item? Or by the way, this luxury brand, all that shit gets made over here, right? It has some fucking dead French guy's name on it, right? But we make it here, and whatever outfit they're gonna fucking set up to, you know, produce these in a way that's like tariffed, you know, to like keep a price point or whatever, you're going to notice that the quality's going down a lot, and you have Trump to thank for that. And Connor, to like segue back a fucking year or however long it's been, I can really see why some people in the American administration, the liberal one, the last one, really wanted us to not have TikTok, because this weird bridge that now exists where like their social media posts can really contact like tens of millions of Americans within like a day, and they can propagandize, right? I mean, no judgment here, right? About whose fault, like the impending either increase in costs or lack of inventory, who to blame that on for, like, you know, the American little treatlers, right? on this side of the fucking Pacific. I could definitely see why, as an American, you would not want that to exist, right?
Yeah.
They literally are just like straight up doing, you know, very convincing propaganda that we're fucking our shit up right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, by the way, like the United States can't really control. You can go on Facebook and have all your posts, you know, about certain foreign policies deleted, right? But TikTok's not really going to do that.
No, in fact, I believe it was March 19th was when the TikTok ban was supposed to go into place, like after Trump extended it with the executive order. TikTok's still here. I remember the day before, leading up to the day that TikTok was supposed to go offline, people were posting about it, talking about like, what are we going to do after this? So long to everybody. I'll miss you. Thank you for being my new little TikTok family.
I'm so sad.
Yeah. And this time around, I mean, I think I knew about the pending ban because I'm reading up on stuff all the time to come up with stuff for the podcast. I didn't see any videos about it. It just came and went. No big deal. The TikTok ban, never going to happen. We're never going to talk about
By the way, I got to call out Connor here because, or call out. I got to plug Connor. He did not ask me to do this. He did fucking call it. Everybody in my life, I was like, well, I guess it's finally going away. I don't use TikTok, so it's not a big deal, but I see all these people freaking out about it. Connor called it like a fucking year ago, and he was right. He was right.
Well, thank you, Alec.
Can't believe I doubted him. Sorry, buddy.
Well, you know, if I ever have to eat crow on this show, we'll make a big deal about it. I promise.
I was right about the TikTok thing. Yeah. Remember the TikTok thing? I was right about
that. No, trust me. If TikTok does get banned, I'm deleting all the episodes. Right. It wouldn't get
banned. Especially where we gloated about it a year later.
Yeah, yeah. However, if you, it's kind of interesting. So as crazy as TikTok can be and what you're talking about and propagandizing to Americans very quickly, I'm still getting my notifications for Zhao Hongxue, and it's still on my phone, still active. Oh, sorry, just Senator Tom away. Cotton, you piece of shit.
The unusable app that's all in Chinese. I mean, I was on there. It was cute for a little bit, but golly, it's just, you can't use it.
It's so, what's so funny to me is all these TikTokers were moving to Zhao Hongxue when they thought the app was going to get deleted. And they said, there were so many videos saying like, I'm learning Mandarin. And they would say just something like, ni hao ma, like something like that. And as soon as TikTok came back, they're like, thank God, Mandarin's so hard.
It's this is a real doozy.
Yeah.
Your symbols aren't an alphabet. This is crazy.
How come I can say she and she, and they mean eight completely different things?
What do they call that? A pictogram. Pictogram alphabets are a wild thing to have in 2025, but hey, you know, they're going to be the, I guess, the new global hegemon, so you better get used to it.
I desperately want to learn Mandarin, just for fun.
I don't have the time. I'm busy playing Dune Imperium on Steam, which I highly recommend. Again, look, it's very good.
I have it on my Steam Deck. I don't know why I'm not fucking playing. I don't know why we're not playing this together.
It's an obsessively good game. It's really, really hard to not. I wanted to play it instead of recording tonight, but I did my duty.
Oh, shut
to
up.
To the podcast.
We got 15 minutes left, if that. So you can go play it in a little bit.
Nah. I'm cooking tonight.
What are you making?
What else we got? Oh, I got a chicken, a mushroom etouffee cooking, baby. Ooh, I got some rice made. As soon as we get off here, I'm going to make me a big old bowl of that.
Do you make your etouffee from scratch, or do you use like a pre-made?
It's not really etouffee because it's not roux based.
Okay.
But yeah, everything's from scratch. Yeah. Just chicken thighs and braise that. Those fry them in a little bit of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. Ooh. Then a whole onion, lots of garlic, and just like macerated mushrooms from the. By the way, my wife got me a food processor for Christmas several Christmases ago, and was mad that I never used it, and I finally started using it. Oh my God. It speeds up cooking so tremendously. I really should have taken her advice and started using it years ago, because it is, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Gotcha.
That's not true. That's probably my kid. You have to say that it's your kid. That's the best thing.
Yeah. Technically, they're the best thing.
Technically. Technically. So anyway, I love the Chinese manufacturing TikToks. I love a guy like posting up a 50-second clip where he's like, you know, do you want to buy industrial amounts of dishwasher pods?
Yeah,
right. Of yeah. Of, yeah.
I like the ones. It's just it's like one woman who works at the same factory, and it's just like, would you like to buy graphite tube? We have plenty of graphite tube. You have many uses for graphite tube, like. Love those videos. There was a spice company that like was going viral for a bit for their ads, and it's not like they had these really super creative ads. It's just like very matter of fact, by the book, long ads on like this one specific spice company. It's very I like Chinese advertising.
I don't know if this is racist. I think it's very fun to see Chinese people speaking English on TikTok trying to sell me stuff. I think it's cute. I like it. It's something I don't see every day.
Right? You know what? I'm not going to make that call, dude. Listeners, is that racist? Let us know in the Discord.
Listeners, are you Chinese?
Yeah. Use the hashtag, am I racist?
Yeah. Actually, unironically do. Go in those and tell them that Matt Walsh is a motherfucker and fuck him.
Yeah. We're not going to have him out. Walsh thing for a bit. I don't know.
Fuck that guy. I hate Matt Walsh.
Yeah. You'd beat the shit.
Do you work for the Chinese government? Can you tell me if this is insensitive? Probably not. I mean,
probably not.
TikTok. I mean, by the way, did we ever resolve that? Is TikTok actually Chinese, or are they just they're a spinoff of Douyin, right? But they're totally a separate. Douyin.
They are. I mean, I believe they are owned by ByteDance, which is owned by the Chinese government.
Okay.
The CEO, as you may or may not remember, when Tom Cotton kept asking him over and over, he is Singaporean. He is not Chinese.
That was brutal.
Yeah. Just so funny.
Talk about, I mean, that was so like obnoxiously, painfully racist. It was wild, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What else is going on in the news?
Tom Cotton, he's great. I don't know. Do we have something else lined up for this episode? Because I literally am forgetting. We've been having a very good time just shooting the shit.
No, we tackled everything, and we packed this episode, and I expected we'd be like pushing past an hour.
What the fuck?
And we are now we now have like 10 minutes left to fill to hit our hour mark.
We could just cut it short. I mean, I don't fucking care. It's a great episode. I don't know why we would string it out with 10 minutes of garbage on the back end. Just us talking about whatever. I mean, I'm scrolling Twitter.
Let me look at the news.
Well, all the stuff I remember is like really depressing, and we kind of already covered it, and I don't want to talk about it more.
Yeah, and there's one thing going on in Texas that I kind of want to talk about, but it's a much larger story that we'll have to get to some other time.
Let's hit it some other
time. Actually, I can give a little tease. Hang on, let me pull it up here so I get the names right. So there is a new neighborhood that is trying to be developed in Texas, a subdivision really, near Plano, and it is called EPIC, or the East Plano Islamic Center. And they're trying to build a Muslim community with a mosque in the center of the neighborhood. And of course, Greg Abbott, Kim Paxton, John Cornyn are furious, and they want to open up an investigation, and they're saying that they're excluding non-Muslims, which, make up your fucking mind. You don't want them at the party. Wait. You don't want them to have a party of their own. What do you fucking want?
I'm sure if they have a developer lined up, they're literally not excluding people based on race. It's extremely illegal, and there's no way they would do it. Thing is, when you announce that, nobody who's not a Muslim or who isn't cool with Muslims would move there, right? That's what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. What I will say is that they do have a developer, but the project is still in planning phases. They're just like raising the alarm, because you know it's the same old refrain of we don't want Sharia law in Texas. You're not going to get Sharia law.
Imagine one of these like the TikTok like Trumper like boomers buying a house out of spite and then just making like nonstop videos about like they're wearing hijabs. There they are. It's just like a totally normal neighborhood just with like Muslim Americans in it. That'd be very funny. Just like the most unhinged person in the neighborhood is like the person that's now that I think about it, I really hope if this comes to fruition, they don't get like harassed by those kinds of people. Right. Yeah.
It a gated community. Fuck them. Muslims get shit on nonstop in this country, in this state. Yeah. Let them have their own space.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but you're literally creating a zone where they're like everybody that lives there is a Muslim, which like historically has not been a good idea. Do not all live in one place where people could easily identify you or you're like
that is a good point.
Your However, social group or whatever.
I feel like Texas Christians get their own spaces all the time. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, I do believe in like multicultural integration is a great thing. But look, if you're just getting shit on all the time, go start your own party. I applaud you for doing it. And like, I hope it works out. They legally cannot ban Muslims from being there, as you said.
Yeah. And they're American citizens. Well, we'll see. I mean, they could deport me. I don't even know.
Yeah, that's what
we will be finding out. I mean,
that's a whole other fucking thing. And we'll, I'm feeling more and more confident we'll be having an episode about that kind of stuff in the future.
Oh, wait. I remember. So this is not just time filler, but I have to express my utter fucking disgust for that piece of shit, Bill Maher, who I don't know if anybody's seen it. I don't know if you guys care. I just fucking can't stand Bill Maher. I don't watch
his shit. The Hawk Tua interview?
No, not the Hawk Tua interview. So Bill Maher went to dinner with Trump,
yeah.
right? And just like one of these fucking smarmy centrist, I don't want to say really, really bad words. I'm going to meter myself. Smarmy, centrist dickheads, right? He's lining up to fucking suck Trump off, right? So he can't wait to, in long form, tell you that Trump's actually really charismatic in person, right? And totally not crazy. And he's basically psyching himself up to say, you know that everything is seems to be burning, right? And by the way, like, you know, I've shit on this guy forever, even though, by the way, Bill Maher mostly shares the views of a fucking Republican. There's the only reason that he's not a fucking Republican is because, you know, he thinks it's too, like, boorish and fucking ugly, right? But he's psyching himself up because he's convinced himself that that's no longer the case, right? Like, this insanely this insanely, like, fascistic fucking movement that, like, Trump is now kind of pushing in this country. Well, hey, don't worry about it that much, because personally, he's very agreeable, right? And it's like, yeah. Wow, no shit, Bill. Holy fuck. What a shocker that, in fact, you can sit down with him and he listens to the things that you're saying. He actually listens. He doesn't just wait for you to speak. It's like, where is your fucking fire, dog? I thought this guy was burning the fucking country down. I thought it was, you know, this was going to be, and by the way, it's literally way fucking worse than anybody could have possibly predicted. This is not a redux of the fucking first Trump admin, like I thought it was going to be a fucking year ago. They're really fucking knocking this out of the park, right? They're fucking breaking the doorknob off in this bitch, and you have the fucking audacity to be like, oh, you know, what people really need to understand about him is that he plays a character on TV. And it's like, yeah, that character's fucking deporting people without without trial, right? Mm-hmm. He's literally denying people fucking supreme, you know, rights, civil rights granted to them by the fucking Supreme Court, Bill.
Yeah.
You fuck.
I mean, Bill Maher has expressed lots of anti-Muslim sentiments over the years. He's racist. He hates people protesting Israel. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to see a great Bill Maher... Yeah, and if you want to see a really great Bill Maher interview, check out when Bill Burr absolutely eviscerated him.
Dog walks him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also, go check out him saying the N-word. Just Google Bill Maher N-word and watch that to see, like, how... this is your liberal comedian, by the way. Also, Connor, I can't express to you, like, how appreciative I am of what back when you had your, you know, your comedy thing going on in Houston and I'd come down... You guys were earnestly funny. You worked on the fucking bits. The Bill Maher show is like it feels like somebody's breaking your bones. Mm-hmm. It is utter pain to watch, man. It's not just, and they have like people screaming, laughing in the crowd. And it's like, I don't know if that's canned laughter. It is brutally cringe.
Yeah.
Like how unfunny the fucking like monologue is. It's wild, man. I would launch Bill Maher into the sun, or I mean, yeah, put him in something to El Salvador. He deserves it.
Put him in one of those Blue Origin rockets.
Yeah, just make sure it comes down hard.
Yeah,
fuck Bill Maher. Fuck Bill Maher, man.
Oh shit, man! Do you have anything else? I've got nothing. I don't want to. I did have a thought today that at some point in time we should take a political quiz. Either one of those ones that tells you where you stand on the spectrum, or one of those ones that tells you who to vote for. If I ever run for office, I think I'm going to make one of those quizzes, and no matter what you answer, it's going to say you should vote for me.
You should vote for Connor. you're hosting it on your own.
Yeah, I'm going to bleep it.
50 points out of 45 for Connor.
Oh, great. Now I got to bleep my last name twice. Thanks.
Oh, fuck.
It's fine.
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's good.
No, we'll cut that.
I'll just bleep it out. It's no big deal.
Okay. So did I ever talk to you just as a closer? Yeah. Did I ever tell you on the show about how I do polling?
No.
Okay, so I don't know how this happened. I think I answered the phone years ago one time, and literally like those people that are like, hey, we're doing a political poll. Would you mind? Do you have 20 minutes to like respond? And one night I was like, yeah, fuck it, man. Just ask me some questions. I'll respond honestly. And so you sit through the whole thing and they're very, you know, they read off a script, strongly agree, strongly disagree or whatever. So they must pass that information around, because I get at least once a month, I get some text message or phone call for political polls. I am a polled American, meaning my crazy ass fucking political beliefs actually do on some level get represented either locally, because a lot of them are from Louisiana, or nationally. They call me over and over to find out what my opinions are. And my, by the way, listener, my opinions, if you don't know it from listening to the show, are not necessarily common ones, right? And so the fucked up thing about the polling, unfortunately, right, is that what they usually want to do with the polls is make a narrative, right? Do you agree? We've got these in Louisiana, right? We got these fucking conservatives and they're against this constitutional amendment to, you know, apply some of the, you know, gambling money or the, you know, gas tax or whatever to some conservation effort, right? Let's take one that like actually happened, right? I think they wanted to put move some money around for like healthcare for, you know, for old people or something in the state, right? But it was like a tax credit or some shit, right? And I fucking hate tax credits. I don't like fucking tax credits. So when it asks me how much do you support a fucking tax credit, you can only agree or disagree. So my responses are earnest and like consistent and logically sound, but they look like this, right? Do you agree for this policy? Somewhat disagree to strongly disagree. Strongly disagree. Strongly disagree. Strongly disagree. Would you? And then the last one is like, will you vote for this policy? Absolutely. Strongly agree. We'll vote for the policy. It's like, I hate this shit, but it's better than nothing, right? So if you see ever, and if you're, by the way, like a pollster, this is why, because my, you know, very normal and coherent political views do not fit into your poll. And therefore I look schizophrenic whenever you poll me, right? I'm one of these Americans that are like, you know, like that thing that, by the way, people were passing around about like 80% of Americans or something believe that, they should work that increasing manufacturing in the United States would benefit America, right? And benefit Americans. And then polled, who do you think you personally would benefit from you working in manufacturing? Only like 25% of people respond in the affirmative that it would improve their lives. And lots of people, right, especially fucking liberals, look at that and they go, hey, this doesn't compute. Right. People believe this one thing, that it would be good to be in manufacturing, but they don't want to have the manufacturing jobs. And what that tells me is, by the way, somebody pointed out on Twitter, 25% of Americans think they would definitely, their lives would be improved if they worked at a factory. And that means 25%, theoretically, if it's cross applicable, of 340 million people. That's a lot of fucking factory workers. Yeah. Right. They can both be right. And it's one of those frustrating things where like polling doesn't necessarily tell you what you think it does. It only, you know, it's how you look at it. Anyway, whatever. Fuck that.
I would love to get polled like that, because I was joking with a friend of mine. Like I think I finally found the name that describes my beliefs, which is libertarian Marxism. And when he was complaining about taxes, by the way, I forgot to do this last episode too. It is Tuesday, April 15th, 2025.
Yeah.
But I made some satirical posts today about like, make sure you refuse to file your taxes today. And he was saying, oh man, I had to pay $35 this year. And I said, God damn, it riles me up anytime I see a good friend of mine get tread on. Oh. And
wait, I actually was furious whenever I had to approve the stupid like fee for filing my taxes, because, you know, if you make like basically any money, or if you have a dual income household, you're paying for your like your, you know, TurboTax or whatever the fuck, e-filing. The fact that the government doesn't just do this is so fucking infuriating every time that I'm forced to use these fucking services. Well, I mean, I guess I could fill out the fucking forms, but, you know, TurboTax exists. The fact that this convenient thing has been designed and these fucking remoras just get to suck a little bit of money out of me every single fucking year.
Yep.
Instead of them just doing it on the fucking government website.
Dude,
I hate, like, I can't stand that.
We have direct file available in Texas, but if you have any additional forms or multiple forms,
yeah, you're fucked.
You're fucked. So I haven't been able to do
it. You just can't do it. You just have to go through one of the fucking e-filers.
Well, when my friend told me about how much he had to pay in taxes, $35, I did tell him, look, as a libertarian Marxist, I pledge to fight for you if I ever run for office, which I will not do as it conflicts with my anti-statist ideas.
Ugh. We're authoritarian Marxists in my household over here. Thank you very much. The state can and will make better decisions than the average fucking moron can. And speaking of which, now that the podcast is just about over, I'm about to go read some of the amazing opinions that Americans have about what shape the earth is. So fuck you, Connor. The government should definitely be able to tell you that you're wrong or right about, you know, how much lead there should be in paint.
Hell no. In my house, I believe the earth is a sphere. My fiance believes it's a trapezoid, and my dog believes it's a bone.
Very good.
And I respect their right to think that.
And with that being said, Connor.
Yeah. Hey, Excelsior propagandos. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye.
Did you see that? When they were coming back down to Earth, Katy Perry sang What a Wonderful World.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
But I've heard she's got a good singing voice, so it was probably not terrible.
Well, I was thinking, like, Alec, what sounds worse to you? Being stuck on a spaceship with Katy Perry singing It's a Wonderful World, or being stuck on a plane with, like, the original Broadway cast of The Lion King?
Wait, the Broadway cast? The Broadway cast. Okay. I thought I was going to hang out with Elton John.
I heard
that's Tarzan.
Yeah. No. Elton John did Elton John's on Phil Collins did Tarzan.
Oh, I like that. I like that album, but
did you know
a lot of people hate Tarzan?
My 9/11 truther is that 9/11 only happened because people were singing on the plane.
Yeah, okay. It was Katy Perry.
Yeah.
What if she did?
Oh my god.
What if she was doing the Louis Armstrong impression the entire time? I see fields of green. Brought that one down quick, right? They're like, three more minutes of this shit. Jesus. No wonder that lady was kissing the ground.
The pilot, Gail King, yeah, the pilot's just like, what if we cut the oxygen? Yeah, we could do that, right?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that's the space flight was so silly. It's so funny to see Katy Perry say that, like, this just reminded me, this is all about the earth. It's all about the mother that we need to respect. It's like, And do you know how much pollution comes from a fucking space launch for 10 minutes?
Please ground your private jet, lady. Well, I mean, at the same time, I'm sure that like many people that go up into space, right, they look down at the earth and they're struck by its beauty. And all of a sudden, right, like they have a tendency to all of a sudden become like ecologically minded, right? Like it probably is like a very profound experience, but yeah, I mean, come on. You didn't need to do that.
No,
I believe in not polluting the rivers, and I've only been, you know, on a standard fucking jetliner. I don't need to, you know.
Yeah. I just think about, when Will Shatner went up to space and they asked him, like, what'd you think? He's like, it was horrifying.
It sucked. I hated it.
He had it as like it was beautiful and terrifying at the same time. I don't have the direct quote.
No, that's a. I mean, it's death out there. Don't open the bubble that you're in, right? You'll fucking die. You'll freeze to death, like, real quick. It's got to be pretty scary.